Blog Talk Radio.
You have had a blessed day in the Most High, that you've gotten to prescribe rest, and that you have eaten from the word of the Most High on today. I was in a chat room and discussing who knows what, just so many different things, and the speaking in tongues, and you know, is Gabriel the Holy Ghost, and, you know, who is Messiah? Just all kind of different topics all over the place. And so it's been I haven't really taken a break since this morning. And, just where I was at, I guess that's where the Most High wanted me to be at. Nevertheless, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We are still on the Elohim of the Blood Covenant. And we might have 62 chapters left to go through, I think, in this series. And we want to finish it up so that we can move into the New Testament. And then, you know, the New Testament only speaks in a couple of places on the covenant. You know, it talks about the ministry of Messiah and the Melchizedek priesthood. And it talks about, you know, the covenant needing to be, the law needing to be changed because the priesthood had been nullified. And, a new priesthood, but the original priesthood of the Melchizedek order, that Christ came up under that order. And so we want to make sure that we bring those things into our understanding, but understanding that everything that came from the old into the new. So we're continuing this because I want to actually finish this up. I probably shouldn't even say that, but it just continues to amaze me. The understanding that the Most High gives and allows people to have. And not saying I know everything, but, it's just hard for me to understand how a person who can't fly a jet plane, don't know how to fly a jet plane, will try to tell me how to fly a jet plane. They know the plane flies, but they ain't got a clue as to how to fly it. Exactly how to fly it. But then, you know, they want to tell you how to fly the plane. And so I find that, you know, hard to believe even in the scriptures when if you have not operated in a certain thing in the scriptures, how can you tell somebody about it? You can tell your understanding, but you can't say that your understanding is concrete. You know, it's a personal understanding. But if you've never operated in it, and by your own admission you say you've never operated in it, then how can you tell somebody? I never understand that. So I never will tell somebody that, you know, this is this way. For sure, on anything, except for I'm reading to them verbatim out of the scripture, or the Most High has shown me through experience, through my own life, that this is the way this gift operates. So it just kind of amazes me. Anyway, we're going to be doing, starting in chapter, let me see where we left off at. I think we left off in 4 or 5. I'll know here in a second. And, you know, that's where we're returning back to. And again, we're looking for how the Most High is dealing with his people. And we just continually learn different ways that the Most High, his commandments, his judgments, he has Moses to expound and to re-explain to all those newcomers in Israel, you know, the children that weren't born when they came through the Red Sea, and those children that were born to the children that didn't die, that were 19 years old and under. You know, explain to them why they're walking through the wilderness. And then the Most High, you know, is telling Moses that he's going to have to go up on this mountain. He can't enter in. Told him no, can't enter into the promised land because of what he did. And so we will be starting in chapter 5, let's see, probably chapter 6. Yeah, chapter 6, I'm sorry. So let's do our statement of faith. We'll do our statement of faith and then we'll pray in. As I said, the more we read this and the more I read it, the more I'm, you know, coming to the same conclusion always. I hear people talking and, you know, they want the same things, but I really do think that we let our humanity get in the way. And we allow our humanity, or we make excuses for our humanity. And the Most High says he knows we're human, but I don't see anywhere where where he actually really makes leeway for that. He said, I know you're human, I know you got to learn, but what we know, he holds us accountable for. And, you know, that just doesn't change. What we know, he holds us accountable for. What we don't know, he says, hey, I'll give you leeway on that. But the day you know it, repent of it and turn away from it. But I think, you know, we are using our humanity as a way to stay in sin, for lack of a better word, to stay in sin. Okay. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holiness must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today according to how he has treated you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Just so good and so wonderful to you, Father. So merciful and so kind. And I love you, Father. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you as you have said because you first loved me. When I was unlovable, you loved me, Father. And you gave me the strength to stand up on my feet and to be one with you. And Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank you. Give me a mind to serve you, and that I might stay focused upon you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Yah. We thank you, Father, for being our Elohim. I thank you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Holy hands raised. Ladies, cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads, wherever you may be. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And amen. The 23rd Psalm. Yah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yah forever. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And again, we are looking for how the Most High is dealing with Israel, what his nature is. And I'm not just talking about just holy, but how he conducts business and what he will put up with and what he will not put up with. That's the only way to know and to learn him, and you know what he has put up with in our lives and what he has not put up with and what we might be taking a chance on, because we will say, oh, my God is a merciful God, and he will always forgive me. And that's great faith to have, but the truth of the matter is you're probably taking your salvation into your own hands, and it may not be good. It's a good thing if he does that, but it may not, you know, he doesn't have to do that. And so we want to know how he has dealt with people in the past. Because I think that we can reasonably set the expectation for how he would deal with us, looking at how he has dealt with people in the past. Not being a respecter of persons, then he can't treat David or anyone any different, or us any different than he would treat them. But then he says, you know, I still always reserve to myself to dispense mercy where I want to dispense mercy. And where I don't want to dispense mercy, I don't have to. You know, I'm just of the mind that I would rather be on the side where the Most High doesn't even have to make that decision whether he's going to be merciful or not. Now, we all know that we have done things, and we probably are in that house where we need his mercy. And we are all probably in the same place where, you know, we won't know until we get there. But until we get there, no matter what, we should serve him with everything that we have. Because we realize, hey, I was in the wrong. I know I deserve death, but I will serve you with all my heart for the rest of my life. And if you happen to say no, you are sovereign. You are the Most High. I have no other choice but to what? Obey and do what you say do. Say, go get in the lake, I go get in the lake. Say, enter into the kingdom, I enter into the kingdom. Either way it goes, you are my Elohim. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And again, you know, some laws may be in here. They're not identified as being in these chapters. But you never know what you read. And then also the Most High, what some people may take for granted or don't see it as a commandment. Because I notice a lot of things people take as a suggestion from the Most High. Well, I suggest you keep my commandments. I don't see that nowhere. But people treat it that way. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. And these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which Yah, your Elohim, commands you to teach, to teach you that you might be, do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mayest fear Yah, thy Elohim. Again, we read this over and over and over again, and the fear of him is something that is serious. That thou mightest fear Yah, thy Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as Yah Elohim of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yah our Elohim is one Yah, and thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So, you know, the new covenant says that he would write his commandments and his statutes and his laws in our hearts. But he told us from the very beginning, let's read that verse again, so we don't think that this is something new. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Somehow our forefathers failed to do that. Failed to get it in their heart. Failed to walk in faith. And so the Most High says, I'm going to cause it to happen. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Keep this always before you, his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, his judgments. Live, eat, and breathe it. When you lay down, when you get up, when you're at the kitchen table, when you're doing chores, when you're out for a walk, keep this always before you. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when Yah thy Elohim shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. And see, this is the thing, this is part of the first covenant. The Most High promised Israel that he would take them into a land flowing with milk and honey and give them cities that they didn't build. These cities were going to already exist. And so for them to already exist, the Most High is saying, you're going to take them, and I'm not going to destroy these cities, and they're going to be inhabitable. But when he comes to rebuild again, he's saying that it's going to have to be rebuilt. So it's going to be destroyed upon his second return. But during the first covenant, he sent in hornets. So imagine this. You're in a city, got your crib, got your car, everything is nice, and all of a sudden, hornets move in. And if you've ever seen a hornet makes a bumblebee look small. And it is fierce and flies very fast. Saw a hornet one time hit one of my friends in the back of the head. Didn't bite him, it hit him. Flew into him so hard in the back of the head, he flipped. Literally, did a flip. So imagine the Most High sends hornets into your city, into your house, and they are attacking you. And they can bite. And they got big jaws. I'm talking about, they make wasps look small. And a wasp doesn't really sting you, it bites you. And they hurt something terrible. And so these hornets, the Most High says, he uses those. And they come in and they drive you out of your house. They don't damage the house. They make it to where you leave. Or they kill you. But either way it goes, you won't be staying in that house. So he says, I'm going to use these things to drive out the inhabitants before you. And you're going to inhabit houses that you didn't build. Verse 11. And houses full of all good things, which thou filledest or filled not, and wells digged or already dug, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olives which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. So I'm going to give you cities that you're going to inhabit that are already built. They're going to have already be furnished. They're going to already have olive trees and the wells dug and all this stuff that you ain't going to have to do yourself. It says, now, when you have eaten your full, when you have gotten fat off of what I've given you, verse 12, then beware lest you forget Yah, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear Yah, thy Elohim, and serve him. So that's twice in this chapter he said, fear him. This is most important. And serve him and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods or other Elohims, of the Elohims of the people which are round about you. For Yah, thy Elohim, is a jealous Elohim among you, lest the anger of Yah, thy Elohim, be kindled against you and destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt Yah, your Elohim, as you tempted him in Massah. In other words, you complained about you didn't have no meat. You complained about you didn't have no water to drink. You complained and said, wish we had died in Egypt. You brought us out to this wilderness to kill us. He said, don't tempt him like that. You shall diligently keep the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of Yah, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land, which I swear unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies before thee, as Yah has spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what means the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments? What do these things mean, which Yah your Elohim has commanded you? See, we're supposed to be teaching our children these things. And when we're teaching them, they're going to have questions. What does this commandment mean? What does this testimony mean? What does this statute mean? What does this judgment mean? Why did the Most High say do this if this happens? We're supposed to be teaching our children. So it's not a shock to them. Shouldn't be a shock to anyone's child who say that they serve the Most High. When they read in the scripture, and the Most High says, if your child curses you, they're to die. You should have been telling them that from the very beginning. You don't want to do that. You should fear the Most High, and you should fear me, because he tells the children to fear. The Most High only tells a child to fear two people or two entities, him and their parents. That's who he tells them to fear. He tells us to fear him and our parents. And when we were disobedient to him, we see in the scriptures, the punishment was not a spanking. The punishment was death. But also, he says, if we are disobedient to our parents, if we disrespect them, if we hit them, or if we curse them, it was the same penalty. And if we're teaching them about the Most High, then we should be teaching them that. What does this judgment mean? What does this commandment mean? And as I said on the morning, in the morning precept, the statutes, the testimonies, the commandments. Our people don't, you know, the dietary laws, our people don't really have a problem keeping. It's the judgments of the Most High that we have a problem with. So he says, teach them to your children so that they have the expectation. And if you're teaching it to them from when they are small, then trust me, it's the way that they grow up is what they believe. They get, you know, they get their understanding and their belief from you, from me, what we teach them when they're little or what we don't teach them. So if we're teaching them everything that the Most High said, then they grow up with that as a standard. And then if we are ourselves keeping them, then, you know, they're not getting mixed messages. Well, God says this, but you're doing that because, you know, your kids, they see us. They see what we do, what we say, and what we don't do and what we don't say. You know, you're going to be you, especially in your own house. And so the ones who are going to see you, your armor, where it's cracked at, if you are not being sincere, if you're saying one thing and doing another, who's going to see it? Your children. So the Most High says, teach them my statutes, my laws, and my commandments and my judgments. Verse 21, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and Yah brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and Yah showed signs and wonders and great sores upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And what this is doing is recounting the story, and they're about to enter in. And so had we continued to do what the Most High said to do, if our fathers didn't fail the Most High, weren't disobedient, then it would be a testimony that everything that the Most High told us that our forefathers he would do, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he fulfilled it, and we're in the land today. We can't testify to that today, but this is what we should be able to testify to. And so in testifying to that, then, and if we were in the land, then it would reinforce these things and the values of the Most High on our children. It'd be like, wow, and we are still enjoying this land today. Our testimony today is we were disobedient. Our forefathers were disobedient, and we got cast out of the land. And we got sent into slavery. And it's because of that we're going through what we're going through today. That would have to be our testimony. And so it's a negative testimony, and it actually paints a negative picture of the Most High that he didn't want us to have to paint. That he didn't want us to have to teach our children. But so now you need to straighten up. You need to not make the same mistakes I made, son, daughter. You need to live this way. But then, you know, we got to also be living that. And the problem is, for most of our lives, we weren't. Not all of us, because some of us may have grown up in truth. I didn't grow up in truth. I didn't grow up with this understanding. And I grew up with this Christian mindset and the Christian understanding. It was not until, you know, and I have always believed in the Most High. And I raised my family in the quote-unquote Christian tradition. You know, my family's always been in church. But then, you know, the Most High causes us to learn about ourselves as a people and why. You know, and really, I don't think that he even shows us why unless we specifically ask. And I asked, you know, what did we do? I'm serious. I had to ask, what did we do as a people that the world would esteem us this way, that no matter how much money we get, no matter how much education we get, no matter how much power we might perceive we have, they always see us the same way, and they treat us the same. As inferior, as less than. What, you know, I knew something was wrong. because I have to be truthful. I mean, everything that I've done in life, I've excelled at. But it, no matter how much I excelled at it, you know, the different races would still see us the same way, still see me the same way. And some of them, you know, you'll hear this, well, you're different. What do you mean? Well, you're not like the others. What do you mean? You know, it's code. And I had to learn what that meant. And then the Most High showed me who we are. He told me, you are my people. This came back to through prayer to me. Not that I was reading the internet or, you know, surfing Hebrew Israelites. I didn't know anything about a Hebrew Israelite. Most I just said, you are my people. And then he sent somebody to explain it to me. Like he was using me to explain salvation to other people. So he had to send somebody to educate me. You know, and I got depressed. I got depressed because I'm like, we are cursed people. But then he showed me. He had to show me that, you know, if you come back to me, then I'll receive you back. But you got to come back to me with your whole heart. And so I started teaching my kids that. But, you know, my kids were grown by that point. My wife has always been in the Word as long as I've been in the Word. But she don't want to accept this portion of it. My wife is, you know, according to her, she mixed American Indian and black. And she more so gravitates to the Indian side of the house. It's kind of red bone. And that's what she believes. So when I say, you know, we're the Hebrew people, not necessarily what she believes of herself. And so this is... it's a truth that the Most High had to bring me into. And then I had to make them honor, my wife and my children, honor, you know, that I keep Sabbath. I said, you know, I can't make you. You're grown. Can't make you do anything. As long as you're in my house, I said, I'm not going to make you do it, because if I make you do it and you're not really wanting to do it, the Most High didn't want that kind of service. I said, so I'm doing this because I am convinced. This is who I am. This is who the Most High came back to me and told me that I am through prayer. And then he sent somebody to explain it to me. And then he showed me what I have to do and we as a people have to do to come back into the correct relationship with him. So I am convicted and I am convinced of this word. And so I taught them. I said, but I'm not going to make you keep Sabbath if you don't want to keep Sabbath. You have to be convicted in your own heart to keep Sabbath. And I'm not going to make you, you know, believe all these other things. Like, you know, the dietary laws. I grew up eating pork. I grew up eating catfish and shrimp and was a connoisseur when it came to seafood, crabs and all that kind of stuff. But as soon as the Most High showed me who we are, and I learned that these things, he considered these things as being unclean, then I let them go. Now, and without a struggle, you know, it wasn't even a struggle. It just had to go. And so I said, hey, you can't cook this for me anymore. And, you know, it can't be a slip because you bring it in here. After I've told you that I don't eat this stuff anymore, we're going to have a problem. And so my wife has honored that. My kids honor that. For, you know, when I first got into this, my kids didn't believe that I would keep Sabbath. Because, you know, in the world, all of their sporting events and everything else happened on a Saturday. And I told them, I said, hey, all that stuff, I said, if you go, you know, if you have an event on Sunday, I'll go. If it's on Sabbath, I won't go. And so, you know, if I'm gone for, because, you know, I've had jobs that take me away for a minute. I'm gone for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. I come back. The family wants to take me out. What day they want to take me out on? The Sabbath. I said, now what part of this don't you believe? That I'm not going to corrupt the Sabbath for my own pleasure or yours. And you taking me to dinner would be corrupting the Sabbath. So I said, I won't do that. And so over time they saw that, you know, this was real for me and that I won't intentionally corrupt it. Not for them, not for anyone, you know, and even when I took a job, I told them that if there's any kind of way, if I can trade with somebody or do whatever, I'll work on Sundays. Because I know there's somebody here that wants to go to church on Sunday. I need Friday night to Saturday night off. And arrange that. And then when I got moved to another team, then I told let them know the same thing. And the best that they could do for me was, and I understood, and the most I understood that, hey, 1 weekend a month, you're going to be on call. Okay, and as much as possible, I'll take the call and then go back to observing Sabbath. Not trying to work, not trying to make money. Now Amazon is falling in, you know, they're falling into the same predicament of the federal law that if you have 100 employees or more, all your employees must be vaccinated. And I'm like, no, my religious belief won't let me do that. And I said, you can't make me do that. Because it is truly a religious belief. It is my understanding. It's what I live. And, you know, they were only going to try to make it hard. You know, so the 12th of November, that's the last of Amazon. And I would take back control of my life, you know, either by reopening my company slightly, something to allow me to continue to do the work, or the Most High will give me the ministry full time. Either way it goes, He has answered my prayers. So we teach these things to our children, and we have to be the example. My children can't, you know, you can't come to my children and they'll tell you that they see me doing anything other than what you know of me doing. They don't see it. They don't see me going out and going to a casino or going to party or drinking or smoking or doing any of that stuff because I don't do it. And I tell them, you know, I don't want you doing it. But you're grown. So, you know, I used to smoke. I used to drink. I used to smoke weed like it was, you know, like it was a connoisseur. But Yah had to show me. He didn't want me doing those things. And when He showed me He didn't want me doing them, they had to go. So we have to be the example. You want change? Then, you know, don't let your children say, but you. How are you going to tell me, but you? You know, let your life be the example. So you should be teaching them the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And then you yourself should be living by them. And you should be the example. And this is what the Most High wants us to do. Verse 24. And Yah commanded us to do all these statutes to fear Yah our Elohim for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yah our Elohim, as He has commanded us. So the commandment was to teach our children His statutes, His laws, His commandments, and His judgments. And, you know, for a lot of families, bringing our children into line and not letting them live by the standard of the world, especially if we start them off young, the easier it is. When your children are all grown, they're already teenagers, you come into truth, and they've been living this whole time a different way. And now you expect them to change because the Most High has changed and convicted you. It's not going to always happen. Now, could I put my foot down and say, you know what, you're living in my house. And as long as you're living in my house, this is what you're going to do. They will resent the Most High for that. They'll resent me for that. So I tell them, I said, hey, you're not going to do these things because you're going to have respect in my house. But the way you serve the Most High, I've brought you up to fear him. I've brought you up to have respect of him. But I also brought you up as a Sunday Christian. And my beliefs and understanding have changed. And he has changed me. I said, so this is what I'm now doing. I would want for you to do it, but I'm not going to make you do it. You'll do it when the Most High convicts you to do it. If he don't convict you to do it, then maybe it wasn't for you to do. You know, so I, you know, my philosophy, and I'm a firm believer in, I'm raising my brother and sister in Christ, in my children. So I tell them the same thing I tell you. You know, when I showed my son and my daughter that if they curse their mother or me, if they cuss their mother or me, if they hit their mother or me, if that ever came into their heart, said the scripture says you to die. I said, huh? I said, here, read this. I want you to read it so that if you ever feel froggy, just understand homie don't play that and homie won't be playing that. I said, I never would play that before. I said, but I want you to understand and read it so if you get full of yourself, that you have a fear in you that you don't go here because it won't be pretty. You already know, you don't cuss around me. I said, I know you cuss. Don't think that I haven't been, at the window or you didn't know I was there and I heard you cussing. But I know you're not going to cuss in front of me intentionally. What you do with your friends, around your friends, I said, I know how I was at your age. And I would never cuss in front of my mother or my father. I said, it would be totally 1,000% disrespectful. But I know parents that allow their children to cuss in front of them. I said, I'm not one of those. And if you ever do it, if I think that you are cussing intentionally, and if you are cussing at me, you know, I will not hesitate to go upside that head. I don't care how old you are. My oldest daughter had to find that out because she tested it. So, really? You want to go there? And I took her there. And she hasn't done it since. I said, I don't care how big you are. I don't care how old I get. I'm stronger than I look. And when I raised her, my daughter's weighing a good 160, 170. But I literally lifted her over my head and not gripping her like arms locked, grabbed her and lifted her up. And she was like shocked. And did it with an ease. And I said, don't you ever speak to your mother. Because it wasn't about me, it was about her speaking to her mother that way. So don't let me ever hear you speak like that again. You'll never be that grown. You'll never be that grown. So, and that's even before, telling them about the scriptures. Because I almost came to the point where I was going to put a hurting on her as a grown woman. Because she thought she had gotten that grown. And I respect, their age. You're grown. However, there's some things, I don't care how grown you get, you're not doing. And that's one of them. So, I've never let my children just, be disrespectful. I wasn't disrespectful to my parents, and I wouldn't allow my children to be disrespectful to me or their mother. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Teach your children the commandments and the judgments and the statutes of the Most High. But as I said, if you're going to teach it to them, you got to also be what? Abiding by them. Can't be doing one thing, saying one thing and doing another. That is confusion. And that is hypocrisy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse 1. When Yah thy Elohim shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yah thy Elohim shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, no agreement with them, nor shall show mercy upon them. Now, when the Most High is saying to, when he's saying the words that thou shalt cast out these nations, he's talking about killing everything. He's not talking about taking prisoners. He's not talking about sparing children. Because we read, not in the last chapter, but the chapter before, he didn't spare the children of these other nations. When he sent Israel in, it was to kill everybody. We'll look at that today, and you know the world will have something to say about that. And if we find, you know, if we find a nation that's doing that, genociding another nation, like we had in Africa, the Congo, Hitler was doing it. The world has a tendency to come against them. But the Most High, now, if the Most High told us that, you can trust and believe that the world will come against us. And the only way we would survive it is what? That the Most High was going before us. And that those nations would have to, you know, they would then be like, I don't know how it is, but no matter what we do, we can't beat them. They just seem to keep winning. And sooner or later, you know, they'll shut their mouths concerning it. And sooner or later, they'll stop coming against. Because they'll realize that, well, there must be something else to this. But in these days, the days of our forefathers in Torah, these nations heard about Israel. And the Most High said, I'm going to put the fear of you in these nations. So if you hear about an army of people in the millions coming, and when they, wherever they go, everybody dies. Do you think that that reputation is going to reach these other nations? And these nations were not small nations. They weren't, you know, little bitty defenseless nations. And the other nations that are around them be like, what? They got rid of the Girgashites. They got rid of the Canaanites. They got rid of the Perizzites. The Hittites, they beat them. We don't want to have nothing to do with that country. Verse 2. And when Yah thy Elohim shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly means completely destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto to their sons, or his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Now, going into the promised land before they ever went in, and he's telling them this now, the reason that he's doing this to this people, these peoples, these nations, number one, they're occupying the land of the Most High. Number two, they are worshiping other gods, and they are worshiping these other gods, not just in idolatry, but they are committing abominable acts in the worship of these gods. So one of them was to, you know, actually pass their children through the fire. And we still have that practice going on today in a lot of the European or Nordic countries where they have the practice of jumping over the fire. That was a form of worship. Or, like with Baal Peor or Baal, the priest and the priestess, as part of their worship, sex was involved. So he said, I have already predetermined that these nations are wicked and abominable. And you shall not do unto me as they do to their gods. You won't worship me the way that they worship their gods. As a matter of fact, I want you to wipe that worship out completely. Verse 4. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods or other Elohim. So will the anger of Yah be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus shalt thou deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Now, their altars were up high in the mountains and down in the valleys, and in the groves were little groves of trees that they would grow and dedicate to Asherah, a female god or a female deity. Graven images to whoever, Dagon and all these other gods that they would serve. He said, tear down their altars, destroy them. Break down their images, any images that they have of any deity that they're worshiping, and cut down their groves, these groves where they would go and worship and commit acts that they shouldn't commit in these little woods. These were the groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto Yah thy Elohim. And Yah thy Elohim has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. I'm not sharing you with no other gods above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, he told Israel, this is your wisdom. If you will keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and my judgments, and you will teach them to your children, and you will teach the nations that are round about you, and that you serve the only and true living God, Elohim. This is your wisdom. And they said, what a great nation this is, who has these wise statutes, laws, and commandments, and judgments. But our forefathers didn't believe that. They didn't adhere to that. And they did exactly what the Most High told them not to do. So don't marry into them. Don't give your sons to them. Don't give your daughters to them. In other words, don't let their daughters come in and be part of your family, and don't let your daughters go be part of theirs. Because it's the girl that left the house and when it became part of the family that she was marrying into. So don't let that happen. And because they serve other gods, and they're going to cause you to serve other gods. So tear all this stuff down. Now, he's telling this to, Moses is telling this to Joshua. And when our forefathers went into the promised land, they're supposed to tear all this stuff down. This is the exact same thing that Messiah is going to do when he comes back. Yeshua. He's going to tear down their altars, all the altars of the false gods in the entire world, not just Israel. He's going to tear down every false place of worship. He's going to destroy every image of a deity that is not the Most High. He's going to do that. He's going to clean up this world from false religion. And the scripture tells us that the name of the Most High will be the only name that is worshipped in all the whole earth. That means he's getting rid of all that other stuff. This is what Messiah is going to do. If we were to go back into the promised land, all those that have gone into the promised land and the Gentiles are running the promised land, they're supposed to actually do this. But they're going trying to fit in because they don't have no power because the Most High is not with them. But if we were to go back into Israel, the promised land, and we say we are the people of the book, we would have to go in cleaning up the land. We cannot go in there to reside with the inhabitants of the land. This is what he told Israel not to do. And we saying, oh, this is our land. It was promised to us, and we're going to go in there and co-reside with the nations that have taken it over? Really? And we're going to live with them, and then we're going to start serving who and what they serve. We're going to allow, so that we can fit in, we're going to allow our sons and daughters to intermarry with them. Today in Israel, 25% of the population is known to be gay. The largest LGBT community in the area, I think even in the world. How could we say we're the children of Israel and be in the land and say it's our land given to us by our forefathers, given to our forefathers, and then we allow that to be in the land? We can't, I'm not even supposed to even tolerate it in this land. So, you know, no LGBT BT'er could join Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry and not be actively practicing that lifestyle. Why? Because the Most High said it's an abomination. He didn't change. And because man's laws change, we're supposed to change? No. And so, you know, if I was a 501c3, they could take everything that I have. They could take every tithe that I've ever taken. They could make me pay taxes on it. Then they could come and charge you, saying every tithe that you took, that you filed taxes on and you wrote it off, we want that money back. Because it's federal law. But federal law doesn't trump the law of the Most High. And we are not set up as a 501c3 that we placed ourselves up under them. So we can say these things. Whereas a lot of churches cannot say what I'm saying. They cannot teach what I'm teaching. And if somebody in that, you know, if they did do it and they're that 501c3 and somebody in their congregation complained, the federal government would come back to them and say, hey, how long have you been teaching that? We've always believed in this. Oh, so you've been in business, you've been a church for 30 years? We're going back 30 years to your beginning, and all that money that you took in that you wrote off, and every one of your congregation that they wrote off, we're going to charge you all with it. This is what happens when people file for that 501c3 and place themselves up under the government. They cannot teach the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And they got to agree with the world. But our authority is the Most High Elohim. He is our King. And it's to him that we submit ourselves and not the world. And that's not by accident. Let's continue. He says, so if we do this thing, then we shall be a very special people unto him, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And Yah did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. I didn't pick the biggest population of people and claim you to be mine. For you were the fewest of all people. I started you over. And, excuse me, just a minute. There is dry in here. I'm doing a lot of talking. get some water. Okay. Because you were the fewest. But because Yah loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has Yah brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman and from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that Yah thy Elohim, he is Elohim. Know this, that he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keeps covenant. He keeps his contract and mercy with them that love him. See, let me say this again. Let me repeat what the scripture said. So let me read this and then let me expound on what the scripture is saying. Verse 9. Know therefore that Yah, thy Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant. We're talking about covenant, the Elohim of blood covenant. And mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So who does he love? Those that love him. How do you show that you love him? That you keep his commandments. Not that you find a way to break them. Not that you try to say that he's merciful because I love him. If you're not keeping his commandments, then he says you don't love him. Can't say you love him. Messiah himself reiterated it and said, how can you say you love me and do not what I say do? How do you say you love me and keep not my commandments? He didn't change. So he's saying it the same way here, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them. The Most High has mercy with them that love him. He don't have mercy on them that hate him. And keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So we got to understand that we can't say we love the Most High and then we don't keep his commandments. Matter of fact, he says that when we don't keep his commandments, we make ourselves his enemy. His enemy, his adversary. But the world is teaching us, oh, you know, if you break his commandments, he is true and just to forgive you. No, he's not. He don't do that. You have to understand that you have sinned against him and repent and turn away from it immediately. Because that tells him that you love him when you do that. Show me that you love me. Obey me. This is how I want you to show me that you love me. Obey me. Keep my commandments. I'll love you then. He don't love everyone. Everyone don't obey him and keep his commandments. Everyone don't keep his covenant. Don't keep the agreement that they made. And then see, this is where we fall short, because we say we enter into a covenant relationship with him and then we break the covenant by being disobedient, by transgressing his laws, by not keeping his commandments. And then we look for his mercy. He says, but I have mercy with those that keep covenant with me. I have mercy with those that love me. And those that love me do what I say to do. Those that don't love me, verse 10, and repays them that hate him to their face to destroy them. You say, well, I don't hate him. If you don't obey him, you hate him. You just don't know you hate him. That's how he sees you. That's how he sees all of us when we are disobedient. And especially when we get into that habit where, you know, we make excuse to be disobedient. It becomes a way of life. And we are out of his will. He says, you hate me. And I hate you now. And you don't love me. And I go about to destroy you. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. This is quite different than what the church is teaching. And he didn't change. That's the whole problem. He didn't change. I am Elohim and I change not. I'm not a man that I should lie, or the son of man that I should repent. I don't change. So, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me and you enter into an agreement with me, a covenant with me, then keep the covenant. He defined the covenant. This is what I require. All that you say, we will do. We enter into it. And then we find ourselves breaking it, and then we want mercy. Have mercy on me, a sinner. The Most High says, I already told you, who am I have mercy on? I've already told you. If you are sinning ignorantly, I'll have mercy. But you know that this is wrong? I ain't having mercy on that. I tell you not to pity them. You think I'm going to pity them? And when we read in the scripture, we find out he don't pity. Judgment was coming quick and, you know, swiftly. So let's read these verses again and understand that this should be our understanding. Let's read verse 9 again, so that we make sure that we get this. Know therefore that Yahweh Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant. He keeps covenant. And mercy with them that love him. Who does he have mercy with? Them that love him. And keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is who I love. I don't love those that are against me. I don't love those that disobey me. I don't love those that break the covenant, the contract with me. Verse 10, and repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken or listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that Yah thy Elohim shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. If you listen to these judgments and do them, keep them and do them, not if you are disobedient. Can we hear him? Because, y'all hear me harp on this all the time, but this is critical to the relationship. And we don't want to be serving. We must serve the Most High in spirit and in truth. And when we believe a lie, and we believe something that he hasn't said, and we make up something that he hasn't said, and we take scripture and we twist it to justify ourselves and to make him say something that he hasn't said, we're only bringing damnation on ourselves. And when we be going to the lake thinking that we're going to heaven, thinking that we're going to get into the kingdom, and we're going straight to the lake. He says, but you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. The truth of the matter is, I love them that love me. I love them that keep my commandments and obey them. That's who I love. And I hate them that disobey me, especially when they willfully disobey me. Because then they are telling me to my face they don't respect me and they don't fear me. They don't believe that I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. Let's continue. So, verse 12 again. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken unto these judgments and keep and do them, Yahdai Elohim shall keep unto thee the covenant. I'll keep the covenant. I'll keep the agreement and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. I'll have mercy on you because the things that you are doing them in ignorance. And the day that you find out that they are wrong, you correct yourself, you repent, you turn away, and you don't do them anymore because you love me and you don't want to offend me. You don't want to make me upset. You don't want to make me unhappy. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. I'm going to bless you in every aspect of your life. You're going to have healthy children. You're going to have healthy everything. It's going to be blessed. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or a female barren among you or among your cattle. Now, cattle were important to them at this time. But, you know, you can look at, you don't raise cattle today. So I'm going to bless you in your business. I'm going to bless you on the job. You're going to get raises. And they don't know why they're giving you raises. They just see that you are, everything you do is good. The Most High causes them to see you that way. When we walk in his ways. And Yah will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate you. So your enemies, whatever they pronounce against you, that's what will come upon them. And if they, you know, declare that they hate you and, you know, wish you dead and all this, guess what happens to them? And thou shalt consume all the people which Yah thy Elohim shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, their Elohims, for that will be a snare unto you. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I depose them? Hold on a second, lost my place. Okay, sorry, I lost my place. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember that what Yah thy Elohim did unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt, all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby Yah thy Elohim brought thee out. So shall Yah thy Elohim do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. So if you are, you know, if we're afraid of a nation, the Most High says, remember what I did to Egypt, and to Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. And if you are that afraid of this nation, I'll do the same thing to that nation that I did to Egypt. Moreover, Yah thy Elohim will send a hornet among them. I told you about these hornets. Until they that are left hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. So I'm going to make their land where it's uninhabitable. These hornets are going to come in. They're not going to bite you. They're going to bite them. They're going to chase them out of their homes. And while they're in flight, running from these hornets, I want you to kill them. So put that picture in your mind. You're running for your life. These hornets are everywhere. They're biting you, and this is painful, painful. And at the same time, there's an army chasing you and killing you. And the army don't have to destroy, you know, don't have to destroy your home or your city. The Most High drives you out of that first. And when you're in an open field, then the army attacks you. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for Yah thy Elohim is among you, a mighty Elohim and terrible. And Yah thy Elohim will put all those nations before thee by little. Let me reread that. And Yah thy Elohim will put out those nations before thee by little and by little. Why? Thou mayest not consume them at once. Can't take over all the land at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. So in those days, you know, they still had wild animals in the land, you know, lions and tigers and bears, you know, these big carnivorous beasts. And he says, you know, if I drive these people out of the land too fast and you can't take the land that fast, then the animals will grow up and they will, you know, they will multiply in the land and they'll be attacking you. But Yah thy Elohim shall deliver them unto you and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thy hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven image of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, on these graven images, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to Yah thy Elohim. So this would be like the Most High saying, hey, I want you to go and attack this city. And they got all these false religions. And you go in and you tear down their altars and, you know, their high places. And you see they got these gold statues. These silver statues and, you know, these gold bowls and all this stuff. He said, don't take none of it. Because it's been dedicated to their God. Don't take any of it unto yourself, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to Yah thy Elohim. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be cursed. Lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it. I mean, you hate it. Don't want that thing anywhere near me. These people use this to worship their God. And no telling what else they did with it. And thou shalt utterly abhor it or hate it, for it is a accursed thing. So he says, if you take that thing and take it into your house, you become just like that accursed thing. You become an abomination. You become detestable. Because you desire that thing. And this is something that was used in the worship of a deity, be it false or not. Most I said it don't matter. In these people's minds, these gods were real. But I'm the only real and true living Elohim. But it does matter what you think as a person, because you cannot believe that the Most High is the true and living Elohim. You might think it's another god. Or you might see that these people worship their God a certain way, and that's how you want to worship. And their God allows them to do this. You know, one of the biggest ones for Israel was Baal Peor, where the men and the women, the priest and the priestess of that religion, as I said, they practice having sexual intercourse as part of their worship. Israel fell for it. Because the Most High said, you shouldn't be having sex unless you're married. And if you are having sex outside of marriage, you are fornicating. And if you're having sex with somebody that is married, you are committing adultery. And you're to die. But this is part of this people's worship, and Israel fell for it. So I know these things are real. I know these pressures are real. We live in a land. We live in a land today that the spirit of liberty, the goddess liberty, rules this land. And all you got to do is look at the TV and everything is sexually oriented. Sexually orientated. You know, what does a naked woman or a half-naked woman have to do with selling a truck or a beer or anything like that? It's all to, you know, put the man in the frame of mind. If you have this type of car, a naked woman comes with it. You know, or you'll be able to attract women and they will act like that. It's a sort of brainwashing. And the goddess of this land says you're at liberty to do whatever makes you happy as long as, quote unquote, you're not hurting anyone. And so we have men and women chasing around each other, getting into relationships and not even being married, and sleeping around with each other, fornicating, being married to someone else, and they're separated, and then they go and sleep with someone else. Just craziness. But all this is contrary to the Most High. He says, so don't practice and do what they do. Live by the statutes, the laws, and the commandments that I have given you. And this shall be your wisdom. But I will have mercy. I will have mercy on them that love me, them that obey me. I will have mercy on you. But if you don't obey me, I'm not having mercy on you, and I will repay you to your face. So see how I said that, you know, there's not really any law in this, but we see how the Most High, how he expects our behavior to be and how he reacts. I love them that love me. You got to know that about the Most High, because that's not what the world teaches you. The world teaches you that the Most High loves everybody, and everybody is a child of the Most High. And he's just all merciful and all kind, and it don't matter who you are. If you will say you're sorry, he will have mercy on you. That's not what he's saying. He says, I have mercy on them that keep my commandments. We're not keeping your commandments. We don't even know your commandments. That's the world. We don't even know your commandments. We go up under the premise that it's the law of the land. Whatever the law of the land says, that's what we're bound by. But the law of the Most High trumps the law of the land. And see, people want to live by the law of the land. The law of the land says, hey, you feel like you're in love with somebody, you can get married to them. Fall out of love with them, you get a divorce. You can get divorced. You guys don't get along, you can get divorced. And you free, both of you are free to marry whoever you want to marry. And we live our lives that way. And then we come to the Most High and find out that is not his way. And then we want him to be merciful. We want him to be understanding. He says, you are already in that condition. Bring yourself in line with my word. You want to have a relationship with me? Then you got to bring yourself in line with my word. Not tell me to get in line with you because you live by the world. And so now you find yourself in a situation, and it's contrary to me. But you want me to change. He says, no. Bring yourself in line with my word. Then I will have mercy on you, and I won't kill you for what you were doing. Because you will have repented of it. And see, so a lot of people in the world come to the Most High after they've been in the world, and they're coming having done some things and then finding out that, oh, wait a minute, I'm contrary. I am contrary to the scriptures. Then you just have to get right by the scriptures. You got to get right by the word of the Most High. You got to agree. You want to come into covenant relationship with me? Then you got to agree to the rules of the covenant. And because you were married before, and you come to the Most High, that doesn't change. You were married before. So where do I fit at in here? This is where you fit in at, wherever that is. These are my statutes, laws, and commandments, and judgments concerning this thing. But I thought I could get remarried. Well, you thought that. What does my word say? I didn't know. Yeah, but this is your circumstance, and this is where you're at. So now you know. Are you going to be contrary to my word? This is why I said don't mix ourselves with the world. Don't mix ourselves with the people of the land, because they're going to have customs and traditions and things that they do that are contrary to the Most High. It's contrary to him. So we have to choose. Are we going to love the Most High and keep his commandments? Or are we going to love the world? That's the bottom line of it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which I, thy Elohim, swear unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which I, thy Elohim, led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled you. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger. See, this was intentional by the Most High, when he would let them go without food to see what they would do, when he would let them go without water to see what they would do. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah does man live. I say, get up and let's go. You get up and let's go. If I say you eat manna and you pick enough for one day's meal or for today, and you don't try to keep it overnight, that's what you do. If I tell you on the preparation day that you prepare for 2 days, so go out and pick 2 days worth of manna, that's what you do. And then you don't go out on the seventh day, the Sabbath, looking for manna. If I show you by example that when you pick manna on every day but the preparation day, day six, when you pick it every other day, if you try to keep it, overnight it rots and it stinks. But on the sixth day, when you collect for 2 days, it doesn't stink, it doesn't rot. That shows you I'm in control of it. And I just want to see if you're going to obey. And we know that there were people who disobeyed. They were told not to go out on the Sabbath and look for it. And still, they ate it all up on the sixth day, going out on the seventh day looking for it. Most High says, stay in your tents on the Sabbath day. Don't do no servile work. And a man went out picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And most of them say, hey, we don't know what the judgment is for this. The Most High says, kill him. The Most High said, kill him for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. So he says, I did these things to you to prove you and to humble you, to see if you would do what I say do or not. To teach them that they might live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth, and not by bread alone. Thy raiment waxed not upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. 40 years they walked around, and their feet, you know, in the hot sun, in the cold winter, said their feet never swelled, their shoes never wore out, and their clothes never wore out. No matter how many times they washed them, they never wore out. And so he was showing them that he would take care of them. That, you know, the things that, you know, we buy new clothes and stuff like that. Our cars wear out. Our clothes wear out. As we wear them and we have to replace them, we got to always restock the refrigerator. Most times I provided your food. When you complained you didn't have meat, I flew in quail, 10 miles deep, as wide as you are. All you had to do was go pick it up. And all you that really, really complained, I caused you to eat quail so much until you died because you made me mad. So I made some of you eat quail till you literally died. He said, but I provided for you. And then I let the congregation thirst to see what you would do. And every time you murmured and complained. But I wanted to prove you what you would do and if you would keep my commandments. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart, as a man chastens his son, so Yah thy Elohim chastens you. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of Yah thy Elohim, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Yah thy Elohim bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and of water, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron. And out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless Yah thy Elohim for the good which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not Yah thy Elohim in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Least when thou have eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget Yah thy Elohim, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, and wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Now we know flint is a type of rock that you hit it together, and it sparks. Use it to start fire. But he says, I bought water out of a rock that starts fire. Who you typically get fire from. I brought water out of it. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. So hear what the Most High is saying, because people do this today. When we are down and out and we're struggling, we beg the Most High for help. Oh, yeah, I need help. Oh, Lord, help me. Give me a job that I can make ends meet, that I can buy a new car and I can get this house and I can help my children and I don't have to worry about anything. And the Most High blesses you and you are fat. And you say, I got all this by my own power, by my own skills. And you forget about the Most High, and you don't bless him. And he says, make sure you don't do that. But thou shalt remember Yah thy Elohim, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. You ain't getting nothing without him. That's why I say I thank the Most High always. It is he who is allowing me to do what I'm doing, and it is he that has made it possible. It is he that is providing. It is he that gets wealth. It is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all, if thou do at all forget Yah thy Elohim, and walk after other Elohims, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which Yah destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you did not be obedient unto the voice of Yah your Elohim. Now, we got this over and over and over and over again. Fear Yah, keep his commandments. By fearing Yah and keeping his commandments, you show that you love him. And by showing that you love him, he says that he will bless you. And you won't have to worry about nothing. Everything that you put your hand to, he will bless. It's when we go outside his will and we go, you know, chasing after things that we ought not chase after, that we find that our ends shrivel up. We can't make the money we need. Everything that we do seems like it falls apart. And we keep wondering why. And then we think that we can solve it of our own self. We think that we can get a job and make enough money to fix the problems ourselves. But the Most High says, number one, I'm the one that's going to make sure you get that job. Number two, I'm the one that makes sure that you are blessed on it. And so you can get the job you want. And if you are not honoring me, then I'll blow on whatever you're making. Something will always come up and take from you. You'll think that you are blessed and everything that you put your hand to, I'm against it. And so it don't prosper. And then you find yourself lacking. And then you find yourself just over broke. You find yourself behind in everything. Find out that relationships aren't going right. Children aren't acting right. Husband don't act right. Wife don't act right. The job ain't right. Because we are outside of his will. Because we are trying to take credit for ourselves instead of trusting in him and doing everything that he said to do. Being obedient to him. We have to understand that doesn't work. And we only hurt ourselves. And there will come a point where Yah will turn his back totally. Doesn't matter how much we cry. It don't matter how much we beg, how much we repent. Yah says, I have turned against you. I don't hear you anymore. I don't hear your prayers. I don't hear your repentance. I have declared that you are wicked. We don't ever want to get to that place. We don't ever want to be in that position. We don't ever want to take the chance that we might even be that way. That's why he says fear him over and over and over again, because it's the fear of him. When we don't really have a fear of the Most High, and we don't really fear his judgment, and we don't fear what will come, we will do whatever comes to mind to do, whatever we think is going to make us happy. Because clearly, we're not happy with him, because if we were, we wouldn't be looking at doing those other things. We weren't committed. And then we want to be blessed. There are some blessed, wicked people out there, but it ain't the Most High blessing them. Who do you think is blessing them? Satan himself. That's why Satan can come to Messiah and say, if you bow down before me, all these kingdoms and their riches will I give to you. Because it's been given to him to give. And so we think that, you know, we think that the Most High, he caused us to believe it, that, oh, I got this job and, you know, I'm not keeping Sabbath and I'm not keeping the dietary laws and I'm not really even focused on the Most High. I'm of the world. And so I see if I go here and I network and I put in the time that I get this promotion and I get, you know, these people are on my side and yada, yada, yada. And everything seems good. But who's blessing you? You're doing wickedness. You know, you might have to sleep with somebody for the promotion. Or you might have to lie for somebody. Might have to do something you don't want to do. And it's wickedness. And then not only that, you're not even given the Most High of glory. You are, you know, if I get this education and if I get this degree and I get this certification, then I'll be able to move up in the world in this way because this is what the world says. Let me give a testimony. I have always counted on the Most High. Never got my degree in my field. Never got my degree, period, in any field. Always studied, taught myself. And the Most High would make it where I could do that. And he gave me, you know, the ability to understand and then to use it. But he always allowed me to get positions as though I had a master's degree and was the subject matter expert in my field and got paid the same as the engineer with the degree. And still to this day, most of them don't know that I don't have a degree. But yeah, he gave me favor. He gave me the ability to. And I always blessed him. Always gave him the credit, the honor. It is he who does these things. And so he's saying, if you will keep your eye on me, if you will not forget me, if you will honor me with your life, with your tithes, with your offerings, with everything about you, I bless you. Don't you forget about me. Don't let there be Don't let my house go without meat. Do what I tell you to do. And watch me bless you. Watch me make it to where no matter what you put your hands to, that it's going to be blessed. That you're going to have favor. It's when we get out of his will. When we try to do things up under our own might, that we get in trouble. When we start looking for those things that are in the world, we get in trouble. So, let's believe what the scriptures say. Yah does not love everyone. Never said he loved everyone. He said, I love them that love me. I love them that keep my commandments and my statutes and my judgments. And that you are wise if you do that. And we get to a place where, for whatever reason, get bored or whatever, we don't, you know, we think that we're missing something in the world. We may get into a routine, but because we're not really doing the work that the Most High would have for us to do, we get bored. We get, we feel like we're missing something. And we get our mind off of the mark. We get our mind off the mark, and then we want to run out into the world. And we think that, you know, that's where our happiness lies. Only to find out that we get out of his will and things just start falling apart. And we have no peace. We have no joy. We have all this pressure and this frustration. And at first we might have thought it was fun, but then we realized that, hey, I'm up under this and I gotta, you know, how do I come from under this pressure? It's just eating me alive. It's consuming me. And the world don't give a damn about me. When something happens, I'm in it on my own. Got to solve it. And then I want to come back to the Most High. And I want to be in his good graces. So we need to understand that we want to stay in his good graces. We don't ever want him to say that we're his adversary and then we stay his adversary because he refuses to take us back. Because we believe that, you know, we believe or we act like no matter how many times we mess up, the Most High has got to take us back. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie. And that's not how he typically responds. There does come a point where he says, you know, enough is enough. And I'm turning my back on you. And you are my adversary now. And I shall fight against you. So let's close up with this. There is a saying, a proverb, I believe it is. If the Most High be for you, who can be against you? If the Most High is for you, who's going to be against you? Who can win a battle against you, seeing that it's the Most High that fights for you? Now reverse it. If the Most High be against you, who can be for you? Who can save you? No one. Because you fight against the Most High Elohim, or he's fighting against you. We don't ever want to put ourselves in that position because he says it's not his desire that we should be in that position. It's his desire that he bless us, that he gives us favor, that he puts us above all the other nations of the world. That's why, you know, as I said, going into this land that he has given us to purchase, we still owe a little bit on it. Could have bought it for cash. And he had blessed me in a way that I could have paid for it all in cash. But then it's going to take time to build up funds to, you know, actually do something on the land. And I need to do both at the same time. So we didn't pay 100% on the land. Pay it off. So that we would have money left to do the work. Still need to make payments. Still need your help. And everybody at the Most High sends, we need their help because it's not just for Brother Miles or for Brother Miles and his family, but this is for my spiritual family and all those that the Most High has said that they should come, that they should get away and out. So I have no doubts. And I have no doubt that the Most High is going to bless it. He's blessed me so far. I'm not going to do anything to come out of his will or to fall from his grace. Not going to do it. I want and I believe what's in the scriptures here. So we will honor him and we will bless him. And we will give him glory and honor and thanks for all that he's done and all he's going to do. That he might bless us and give us favor and place us above everyone wherever we would go. Anybody that's our enemy, that he would come against them. He would come against them. We don't have to worry about fighting it. He will fight the battle for us. I believe that. I walk in that, and I declare that before you and before him. I believe him. I want you to believe him also and to walk in it, that we be of the same mind, the same spirit, and that we are not contrary one to another. Believe in one thing, we all believe in something different, and we're not agreeing. He said, where there's two or three that agree in my name, there shall I be in the midst. And we won't forget him. That being said, we will continue tomorrow morning. We'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 9. We see how to continue to see how the Most High operates and what he expects, who he loves, what his judgments are. And that we should keep them, even if, you know what, I wasn't taught that. And this is my understanding in this type of situation. If your understanding is contrary to the Most High's, well, that shouldn't even be a question what you need to do. You need to change your opinion and your understanding to his and walk in his ways. Or don't enter into the relationship with him. Because a lot of times what I'm seeing is people want to come with their own opinion, their own understanding. This is what I think. This is how I feel. Even when it's contrary to the Most High, and they know that it's contrary to him. Just don't care what he thinks. I got my understanding, and this is what makes me feel comfortable and good. He said, no, you keep my judgments, my commandments, and my statutes. This is what we want. This is what we aim for. This is what the Most High wants. This is all he wants. Father, yeah, we come before you. Father, we humble ourselves. We rely upon you for everything. It is you that gives wealth and gives the power to achieve wealth. It is you that gives the power to handle business. It is you that gives us favor in those dealings with our enemy or with the world. Father, we believe you at your word. We will keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, your ordinances. We will obey them. We will not break the covenant with you. I have entered into covenant relationship with you, and I will not break it. I can't control anybody else, Father, but I will not break it. I will not willfully transgress your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. And I pray that all that you send to me, all that agree, that they have the same understanding. They will not break the covenant that they have entered in with you. You keep covenant, and you say you keep covenant with those that you love, and you love those that keep your commandments. So we know what we must do, Father, and we will do it. And all those who will not do it, they cannot walk with us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let me play this song and then we will dismiss. And let's see, where is it? I want this one. This is what's on my heart. All right, let's play this one.
I've been changed. I'll be the first to say I was one of them. That we only live by grace and just by faith. I was taught to listen to what my pastor say. Only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. But now that I know better, they don't even live according to the letter. They throw away
away the holy scriptures, telling me that it's all done with. That is so simple, something simple like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy.
It is written that his word don't change.
Why do you lie and defy the holy scripture just to satisfy your desire? And now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the holy scripture, telling me that it's all done with.
I've been changed.
Ain't no going back to what I used to do, no,
I've
no
been
more.
Until we meet again. I think we are going to have spiritual wellness tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Until we meet again, remember, I love you, I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Have a blessed evening.
Sometimes
me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You're always there. Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? I don't have you. It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand.